Story that we are all looking forward to. Before we jump into God's word, let's just ask God to settle our hearts and to teach us and really focus us on what we need to know and what we need to do to respond now to what we know. So let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this day. I want to just thank you for all the many blessings that you give us, Father, but there is no greater blessing than eternity in heaven with you, in a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, and no more death. And Lord, we look forward to that. Lord, as we try to wrap up the series on heaven, Lord, we can't say everything about heaven, even if we tried. As we try to wrap it up today, I pray, dear God, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would guide us, and Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to really respond, Lord, to your word. Thank you, dear God, for the word that you gave us, Lord, in the book of Revelation and in all of Scripture. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would take us, Lord, to exactly where you want us to go this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So I want to say we're glad to be back. We had a great time being with Sarah and Brendan as they settle into Delaware. We had a great time last weekend. We heard you guys had a crazy time at church. And I just want to commend Pastor Ansu and our team. We had no Wi-Fi. You know, like the world stops when there's no Wi-Fi. But God's work didn't stop. And I just praise God for Pastor Ansu and our team upstairs, Laureen, Terrence, all the creativity that those guys used to make church happen. And Rosemary and Pastor Ansu said, we're about to break out the hymnals. You know, so we kind of went back a little to move forward, but we praise God for just a great job that those guys did last week. And we thank God. The internet, by the way, had a little hiccup even this morning, and we don't know why. And apparently there's an issue. It was down on Sunset Road. You know, it's not us, but it's not some other issue. So we want to thank God for that. I want to leave you guys one last piece of information. We were able on Friday to pick up the new van. So, hey, praise God, right? So, and I just share you people say, look at God. You guys, we've been waiting for that new van, and it's like a bit of a testimony. And for some reason, you know, it kind of sounds fishy, as they say, they did not get the title for the van that we were trying to get. So they've been waiting for a month and a half. So you know, we've been praying about it. What do we do? You know, humanly, we're like, you know, how we get. But God delivered, and he brought another van in with less miles, and most importantly, a title. So we were able to pick that up on Friday, and we just praise God that that's out there. So after service today, Stuart Boyer is going to be giving y'all a tour. You don't get to drive it around, but he's going to give you a tour, right? So you can check it out. And we just praise God. We're trying to raise up the rest of that money, but we are so excited about what God has done. We had to finance $20,000, which is a tremendous amount of money. So we're so thankful for the good things that God is doing. And I'll just share a story by way of testimony. So this week's Sight and Sound, and by the way, what time are we leaving? 7:45 a.m., right? A.m., right? A.m. 6:30, yeah, amen, right? So I just want to show you kind of a word of encouragement this past week. So we took our bus, got the air conditioner recharged, brought it back, and at the Wawa, we lost the brakes. So God is good, so I'm still here, and the bus now is all repaired, all the brakes are checked out, and we are ready to go. So 7:45, be here. You know, wear shoes to drag your feet if we need to. I'm only kidding. But we're looking forward to a great day up in Lancaster. And there's some information on the information center about Lancaster. We'll see a few sites, hopefully, after our time at the show. And I thank God for Mr. Long and Chris and all their hard work on our vehicles. Chris Vasquez just helping us get to where we are. And we're excited about ministry. Because we've got VBS coming. There's always kids who need a ride home. We got all these things happening. And look at God. Look what God does. So we just praise God for that. So let's talk about eternity, because we say, really look at God when we think about that. So we're going to close up our series today on heaven. And by the way, that's like almost impossible. We could talk about it endlessly, all the great things that God has done for us. But we want to close that up this morning. And we want to focus today. You know what? We talked about having heaven on our mind. But I want to say this. Eternity is in our heart. And you might say, how do you know that? Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. And God's Word actually says it. But here's a thought, and this is our YouTube blurb. We put that out there to get people to think about listening to the message. And here's a thought. While heaven may often be on our minds, especially if you're a little bit older, if you're 40 and above, heaven's on your mind. If you're less than 40, maybe not so much, right? But eternity and the desire for something that lasts is clearly in our hearts. What does God's Word say about the road to eternity? And here's the thought. What can I do about that? And we're going to look into God's Word this morning and try to figure that out. So here's a couple questions I want you guys to ponder with me. One is, have you wondered why everyone is curious about eternity? Ever wondered about that? I'll share a funny story. Remember the book that we were selling called 1 Minute After You Die? It remains back ordered, and I can't get any more right now. So if you're wanting one, we'll get a few more when it comes in. But isn't that kind of an interesting story? The publisher, there's no more books on 1 Minute After You Die. It's kind of interesting, right? And by the way, isn't there, every time something happens in the world, you hear people say, it's an Armageddon-like scenario. Or, wow, this might be the beginning of the end. You know, we see things happen in the Middle East, and everyone, oh, man, what's going to happen next? So our world and almost everybody has this curiosity about what's going to happen, what's going to bring about the end of the world. And I say that to say this, God has placed eternity in our hearts. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. Here's another thought. So what are the events between now and then? What's going to happen? Is it just going to be, bam, eternity hits us like that, like a freight train? Or is it going to be some events that play out ahead of that? And then the last question we're going to kind of want to address today is, how can we as the Church of Jesus Christ prepare? Or how can we, if we're not saved yet, how can we prepare for this eternity? The great things that God has set apart for us and made for us. So that's what we're going to kind of dive into this morning. So I want to say this, and this is the eternal truth. And you guys know, we always say this, like, this is what you want to walk away with today, right? So here's the eternal truth. God has put eternity in our hearts. And I want to think about this. We can satisfy our heart's curiosity when we kind of understand the events and we prepare for it through the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And I want to throw this out to you guys, and you can look up real fast this morning. You know, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Does anybody remember that passage? You should, because Pastor Ansu preached it last week. It's about the rapture, right? And the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. Remember, and ignorant doesn't mean I don't want you to be rude. It means I want you to be in a situation where you know, not that you don't know. And here's the point I want to make to us, right? When we know what's coming, we can prepare for it. When we know what's going to happen, we don't have to freak out because we know God's got it under control. So when we know, and God's Word wants us as Christians to be settled. And I want to throw this out. Everybody look up. In the last couple of years as Christians, have you felt unsettled? We did, right? Well, when COVID was certainly unsettling, wasn't it? You know, you couldn't get together, you couldn't do nothing, you could go to Home Depot in the grocery store, right? That was it. It was a crazy time, right? And other things in our world, things in the Middle East happen, disaster happens, it unsettles our heart. And God wants us to know what's coming so that we can be settled and that we can move forward trusting God to do what he's going to do. And I want to encourage us. That's what God's trying to do for us today. And kind of summing that all up, that's a lot of words. The work of the Word and the Holy Spirit prepares us for eternity. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit this morning as we kind of dig in. So what are the questions? What's everyone asking? again, this idea, right? There seems to be this curiosity about the end. What's everybody asking? So we're going to look at two places this morning. Matthew chapter 24 and 25 and Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 9 to 15. And I want to say this to you guys. Everyone, as you came in your bulletin, or maybe I actually put the handout together today, there's a little handout that kind of gives us the chronology of what is going to happen in the last times. Okay? So take that out. We'll kind of talk briefly about that. That's going to be a future series that we'll do, because we could spend 10 or 12 more weeks thinking about those things. But we're not going to do that this summer. So here's some of the questions. I want you guys to check this out. You know what? By the way, let me ask the question. Everybody look up. Who here is a disciple? By the way, everybody's hand ought to be up, right? If you're a follower of Jesus, we're a disciple. That's what it means. A disciple is a follower of Christ, right? So the disciples, they spent three straight years with Jesus, and they were still wondering about this thing called the last day. What's it going to be like? And check this story out, Matthew 24. And by the way, write this down, or write it down in your mind at least. Matthew chapter 24 and 25 is sort of the cliff notes or the spark notes about what's going to happen between now and the end of eternity. Write it down. Matthew 24 and 25 is a short synopsis of what's going to happen between now and when we get to the new heaven and the new earth. Okay? So write that down. Revelation, by the way, is the long book. Daniel also plays into that, but Matthew 24 and 25 gets us ready for eternity and all the things that go into place. So check this out. The disciples are just like you, because you're disciples and I am too, right? And look what it says. It says, then Jesus went out and he departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? And by the way, I want you guys to picture this. Jesus is walking. He takes the disciples to the temple, which at this point is standing. It's amazing. It's beautiful. And Jesus says, you know what? There's not going to be a stone that's not going to be thrown down or destroyed. And look what happens. He says, assuredly, or in other words, you can bank on it. Truly, truly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. And by the disciples, when they heard that, now they got Jesus all to themselves. And it says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, and by the way, the Mount of Olives overlooks Jerusalem. And Jesus would often go there. It's kind of a quiet place. You know, there's not a lot of distractions. It's Olive Gardens. And Jesus could talk one-on-one with his disciples about what's going to happen, or what are things about. And it says, now he sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And the point I want you to get a hold of is, right, eternity is in everybody's heart. Even if we know Jesus, we still want to know how things are going to play out, because we're concerned or worried or thinking about our family, our relatives, our neighbors, our friends, and ourselves, how we're going to get there. And we might not be afraid to die, but we're afraid how we're going to die. Amen? Right? So the disciples are just like us, and they say, Jesus, hey, Jesus, man, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, everybody, look up for a second. Get this in your mind, too. Why the disciples are asking this question? Why do you ask this question, when is it coming? How will I know? Why? Because you want to be prepared, right? I'll throw this out, and I have not experienced this yet. When people get real ill and they know the end of life is coming, they get all really spiritual really quick. Am I right or wrong? Right, they do, right? And this, by the way, this day is coming, and we don't know when it's coming, so we ought to be ready. But a lot of us as Christians, we're saying, well, you know what? That's down the road. I'm going to kind of have some fun. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do all these things. And then right before I go, I'm going to get ready. Is that a good plan? It's not a good plan. We don't know the day. By the way, I just saw this on my phone coming up before I came in today. Anybody here? Senator Lindsey Graham died of cardiac arrest last night. He just came back from Kyiv talking to Zelensky, you know, this whole Russian war thing, and today he is in eternity. He had no idea. And he was actually running for another term, sixth term, I understand. Unbelievable, right? So I say this to say this. We need to know now, and we need to prepare now, because we might not get a chance to prepare later. And that's the key thing about heaven. Heaven is not something we're going to go, oh, yeah, down there, you know, I'm going to do my thing, and then heaven's there. We got to get ready now for heaven. That's such an important thing. And I put this at the bottom. We want to know so we can get ready. And I'll throw this out. Some will have to hurry up because that day is coming quick, right? So it's an important thing. The disciples are wondering, and before I get to Revelation 22, you know, God had an answer all the way back, and he had the wisest man that ever lived on earth answer the question. His name was Solomon, and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he said this. Another question about life, he says, and by the way, let me step back. What were the two questions that they asked? When will these things be? Write it down. And what will be the sign of your coming? So two big questions. When? How will I know? What will be the sign, right? And then here's another question. You know, because if you think about it, we are all racing toward eternity. Some of us, as we get older, we're trying to drag our feet like I was on the bus, right? But here's one of the questions, though. So what's kind of the point of this life, right? And then in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, everybody look up. Solomon, by the way, richest guy ever, had the most toys, the most things, the most experiences, the most ability to do all those things as probably anyone who ever lived on this earth. And at the end of his life, he writes this book, and he says, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? It's like, I've been killing myself my whole life. What's the point? Anybody ever feel like that? Anybody, by the way, everybody look up. Don't tell your boss you're thinking this way tomorrow. Right? But think about this, right? Sometimes you say, man, I am, you know, I'm blood, sweat, tears, labor. What's the point? What's the point? And this is what Solomon said. He said, I have seen the God-given tasks with which the sons of men are to be occupied. There's a lot of tasks on this earth that we got to do, right? Some have eternal outcomes. By the way, all really can bring glory to God. The most mundane thing that we do faithfully for God, not just for us or for the paycheck or for our boss, brings glory to God. It's a testimony to God, right? And he says this, he says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. And look what it says next. Would you read it with me? Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. So I want you guys to get this in your mind. Everybody look up. God has put eternity in your heart. In other words, you're thinking about last things. You're thinking about your life, your death. You're having that feeling of, man, you know what? Things on earth are just a mess. Right? You have that feeling sometimes, like, doesn't anything last? Isn't anything permanent? Isn't there something eternal? Isn't there something better? Right? That's what he's talking about here. And he says this, he says, I know that nothing is better for them, this is us, than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And whatever God does, read it with me. It shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. God does it that men should fear before him, right? So Solomon kind of explains this point. Why is everyone so curious about eternity and about heaven and about hell? Because God built that into your heart. He put it there. And I want to just illustrate this for a second. Anybody ever get frustrated with life? You got to be honest, we're in church. Anybody get a little frustrated with life and stuff and everything, right? Right? You know, stuff doesn't always pan out the way you want. Experiences don't always pan out the way you want. Relationships don't always pan out the way you want. All that stuff, right? We struggle with the brokenness of life, and that's sort of a reflection of the fact that eternity is in our heart. Does that make sense? I'll share a real quick story. The story should be called this. Anybody familiar with a Volkswagen Passat? Okay, when you see the van, go on this side, because I got one. And I got one. My uncle actually gave it to us. It's 12 years old. It had like 20,000 miles on it. My uncle's like, he's almost 90, he can't really drive anymore. And he said, I just want to take that off my hands. I'll give it to you, right? So we're like, by the way, it's probably like the nicest, kind of coolest car we ever had, right? You know, it's black, it's sporty, you know, it's cool, right? It's kind of nice. It's like a fancy, it's like a foreign, fancy car, right? So here's the funny thing about life. It doesn't always work out the way you plan. So me and Jane, we drive up there to go pick it up. And, you know, it looks great. The outside looks great. And we go in and we turn the ignition key. And there, every check engine light known to man comes on. And we know we have to drive home from Lancaster. Yeah, he lives up in Lancaster area, in a retirement area. He lives up there. So we know we got to drive home on the turnpike. So, and by the way, one of the lights had to do with the brakes. So that's all, that always kind of leaves you feeling a little uneasy, right? So anyway, so we were able to take it over to the Volkswagen dealer. And before that, we kind of opened up the hood. And said, let me see what's going on. And I don't know a lot about Volkswagen Passats, maybe a whole lot about any car, but I look under the hood, and guess what I find? All these animal nests. Like, and it was squirrels. And guess what I don't know why they would want to do this, but squirrels like to eat wires. So they had eaten off all these wires under the hood of the car, the ones that control the brake, the lights, everything, right? So we're like, wow. And we're kind of excited. It's kind of cool to have this like nice, sporty-looking car. So my uncle, he's a good guy, and it costs like $2,000 to fix this car. It has like no miles on it because he was, you know, had been sick on and off, to fix this car, to get it back up and running. And it still has the little funny things. You guys know the vanity mirror that's in the car? For some reason, when I put the flap down, the vanity mirror comes on. And it stays on, so I don't know. We got to get that fixed, too. But I say that to say this. It was kind of like, what a cool windfall. What a cool gift for us. But it really didn't pan out exactly the way we thought. And I say that to say, isn't that like life? And you guys, everybody has a Passat story, right? We all got one, right? But life is broken, and that's why we just crave, there's got to be something better. There's got to be. And I want to take us to that place, and then we're going to go there right now. So the first thing I want to give you guys, and this is the handout that's in your bulletin or got handed to you directly. I want to think through real quick. There's a chronology. All these things are going to happen before we are in heaven forever. By the way, if you die, you're going to go to the present heaven, and the present heaven is going to promote you to the new heaven and new earth down the road. But these events are going to happen on earth. So we'll just talk through them real fast. First one is the rapture of the church. Pastor Ansu covered that last week, right? Right? So one day God's going to, he's going to come back, and he's going to meet us in the sky. And so will we always be with the Lord. It's going to be sudden. By the way, God doesn't say, hey, everybody, get it together because I'm coming. It's going to be like a thief in the night, right? And then right after that, it's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. By the way, let's see what you guys learned last week with Pastor Ansley. Who's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ? Raise your hand, everybody. All the believers are there. Here's the good news, right? You're not going to lose your salvation. That's the place that you're going to get the rewards for your faithfulness and what God had, what you've done for God in your life, how you've used your gifts, right? After that's going to become the tribulation. And by the way, again, we could spend a lot of weeks on this, and we will down the road a little bit. Tribulation is going to come. 7 years where the world will see trouble like it's never seen before. It's called Jacob's trouble. It's really the 50th week of Israel's judgment from God, from their past sins, right? And then Jesus is going to come back on a white horse, not as this low savior, but as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The second coming. And then he's going to reign on earth. And guess what? We're going to reign with him. Amazing, right? And then there's going to be this final uprising, and God's going to put it down, Armageddon. And then everyone who's ever lived on this earth is going to be resurrected out of Hades. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? Out of Hades, out of the sea, out of everywhere, Revelation 20 says this, and they're going to be resurrected to the great white throne judgment. And the great white throne is for all the people on earth who've never received Jesus as their Savior. And by the way, the great white throne, Satan will be cast into the lake of fire forever, and so will all those who never put their faith and trust in Christ. And then we move to the eternal state. And I want to take you there. By the way, here's the timeline. Everybody got this in your bulletin? This little timeline there? It's pretty good. It's in your bulletin. Or by the way, if you don't get one, we'll have some more in the information center next week. And there's another version of it right there. It's a little easier to see on the screen. But same idea, kind of what the events I just talked about. But let's check it out. Let's go to that new heaven and new earth. And look what it says. I want you guys to get this in your mind, right? It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. By the way, everybody look up. Picture this with me for a second. There's a river of water of life flowing out of the throne of God. And it says what? It says that there's going to be the tree of life in the middle and on both sides of the street. So there's, by the way, I think there's some literal understanding of that, but there's a spiritual understanding of that too, which is, you know what? When we get to heaven, life is going to be incredible. God will have breathed life into everyone, and it will heal the nations. By the way, the idea of nations isn't, it's not going to heal Ghana. It's not going to heal the United States of America, but it's going to heal all the people of all the nations of the earth that have put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And we have never seen anything like that. We've seen peace treaties. We've seen all those kind of things, but we've never seen anything like that. And it says, and there'll be no more curse. Guess what? If you get a Passat in heaven, there's no squirrels that eat it up. You know, or any other issue you had a problem with on earth, is that issue have been solved. Totally, right? And he says, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be on. Like, Jesus Christ will be on the throne right next to God. And you'll see him face to face. And it says in this passage, and we his servants will serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And check it out. Cynthia, by the way, thank you for singing that song. Rosemary, thank you so much. Remember that song? What was that song that Cynthia just sang? There's where it comes from. There shall be no night there. And you know, and think about that for a second. The light of the holiness of God will just light everything up. There's no need for the sun, it says, no need for a lamp. You know, we won't need any kind of bulb, incandescent, whatever it is, CFL, no need. the light of the of Jesus Christ on the throne will light everything up. And there'll be no more night. Nothing to worry about in the darkness. Nothing to fear. Nothing to get concerned about. There's going to be no more night there. And I just want you guys to think about this. And by the way, look what it says. And they, which means, by the way, who's they? Everybody look up. Who's they? They is us, right? That's us guys. That's us is they. Right? We're them. And it says, and they shall reign for what? Forever and ever. Without an end. We've never experienced that on earth. There's always an end. We're going to reign forever and ever. So think about this. A perfect city, the river of life, the tree of life, no more curse. We serve the Lord and the Lamb and we reign forever. That's the heaven we're talking about after those other events, right? So those are the events that are, we talked about. And I want to bring us to a couple thoughts. The last part of the book of the Bible. By the way, this is Revelation 22, which is the last chapter in the last book of Scripture. And it gives us these things because we want to be, what's the key word, operational word for today? We want to be prepared for eternity. We want to know so we don't have to fear. We want to be ready. We want to be prepared for eternity. So the last book gives us these things, and we're going to turn to Revelation 22. And you can, I'm going to give you a chance to copy these down, take a picture of these. But here's kind of the last cautions. Everybody look up. Look at the screen. Here's the last caution. Number one, everything that the Bible in the book of Revelation said, it's all true. That's the caution, because some say, well, people have this idea, well, maybe God won't really punish people. Everybody look up. It's all true. Jesus died, and he definitely will save the people that put their faith in him. It's all true. So the God's not going to change it. There's not going to be another book of the Bible. There's not going to be, like, you know how, like, as parents sometimes we say, just go ahead then. God's not going to say that. It's all true. Here's the next thing. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will take place shortly and quickly. The idea of that word that it's in translated quickly or shortly has the idea of it could come right now and it will happen very quickly once it starts. Everybody look up. Last thought. I said I'm looking up a lot today, but here's the thought. This is why you got to prepare, because you can't wait till it starts because it's going to happen so fast. There's not going to be any time to get ready. And I'll say this, write this down. Matthew chapter 25. There has like three or four parables in it. It's all about being prepared. Because once it gets going, you will not have time to prepare. You know, it's kind of like when we get a storm, that's not the time to go to Walmart and get the supplies. Right? And this is true now. There's not going to be any time, so we got to get prepared now. So the caution is, it's all true and it's coming quick. And then the next thing he says this, the blessing or the beatitude, right? Remember the beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5? Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, all those kind of things. Well, Revelation has seven beatitudes as well. And here's one, one of the last ones is this, the blessing of being obedient to God. Doing what God says is the best way to get ready for what's coming. So the blessing of obedience. And he tells John, earlier in the book, he said to John, seal the book. And now he says, John, don't seal the book because the time is at hand. And I want everybody to look up at this idea. There's a word, you can write this word down. The word is called imminent, I-M-I-N-E-N-T. The beginning of this process is the coming of Jesus Christ for the rapture. That could be this afternoon, that could be tonight, that could be tomorrow, and that could be 100 years from now. It could be any time. So it could happen anytime. There's nothing in the way of that. So we got to be ready now. Because once that happens, we off to the races. There's not going to be time to get ready. We got to get ready now. Right? And he says this. He will reward our works. I had a professor in Bible college. He said this. He said there's going to be a whole lot of Christians that are going to be naked at the throne of God. Because they didn't get any rewards. Because they didn't do anything. And by the way, the first work, and mark my word on this, the first work is put your belief, your faith in Jesus Christ. And you can write, want a reference for that, John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. Jesus says, the work is believe. Remember, James says, faith without works is dead. So once we get that faith in Jesus Christ, all the good works, all the things that we do for others in Jesus' name ought to follow. And he's going to reward those things. So everybody look up for a second. Here's the point. We got to get a hold of this by way of a warning. Don't wait till you get old. Don't wait till you, you know, think God's coming back. Don't wait to start doing something for God that lasts for eternity. And again, the point is imminency. It's going to happen right away, right? And then he gives us an invitation, by the way. Think about this one. And again, y'all got to look at this one, right? There's an invitation to come. He says, the Spirit, right, says, come. So here's the deal. We might not be ready right now. He says, come. Come to me now. Believe now. Become a part of God's family now. Today is the day of salvation, not down the road. Today is the day, right? And then he says, don't add or subtract from God's word, because there's a punishment for that too. Hey, you guys know what Revelation says? You know, don't conjure up in your minds either by taking things away or adding things to what he says. So those are all the cautions. Something to think about as we face eternity. So here's the scripture. We'll look at it very briefly this afternoon. But look what he says. It says, here's the first thing. Here's these commands, right? He says, and he said to me, these words are what? Read it. Faithful and true. In other words, everybody look up. It's going to happen, right? It's all real. Everything you thought, heard what God said, it's all real. He says that. It says, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servant the things which must shortly take place. So God told John these things so we could be able to go through these things and be settled, not freaked out, not upset by these things, right? And then listen to what he says next. He says, behold, I am coming, what? Quickly. What's that mean? It means he could come right now. And it means that when he starts coming and things get moving, it's going to go quick. So we can't prepare then. We got to prepare now. Right? And he says this. He says, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Everyone look up. I wonder if we think about our lives right now, this would be a good thing to do. How are we doing in obeying what God said? And a lot of us, by the way, we're really good in some areas and we're really bad in some other areas. And sometimes we want to go, well, God doesn't care that much about this. But he really does. Right? And God's not going to, oh, don't worry about it. He's not going to do that. So good thing to kind of do some self-inspection on that, right? And it says, now I, John, heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, see that you do not do that. But we're not supposed to worship angels. And John's hearing these words from the angel. And the angel says, don't worship me. Worship God. I'm just a messenger. And he says, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And then look what it says. It says, and he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And again, write down this word. If you didn't write it down, imminent, right? Jesus could come at any time. The time is at hand. And I want to throw this out. Understand this. John wrote this, right, after Jesus rose from the dead and went back to heaven. There is no biblical event that stands in the way that has to happen first that we all recognize before Jesus comes. So he said, be ready. Be set on this, right? And he says, he was unjust, let him be unjust still. He was filthy, let him be filthy still. He was righteous, let him be righteous still. He was holy, let him be holy still. And this picture he's kind of taking him to is, you know, that invitation to come comes to everybody right where they're at. And we can still come at any point until Jesus does, right? Here's the second part of that. Look what he says. He says, and by the way, I think I heard this before. And behold, is supposed to get your attention. I am coming when? Quickly. And quickly means what? Anytime. And when it starts happening, how's it going to happen? Fast. So we got to get ready now. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. First work is what? Everybody tell me. First work is believe, and then our works are a result of our faith and our growth in Christ. We will love and we will do good works to others in Jesus' name. Remember, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that. You know, it says after we're born again, right? That we naturally do these good works because of who we are in Christ, right? And then he says, but look at the words that God gives Jesus. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. And then he says, the beginning and the end. Like, he's everything. He's everything. He's the first and the last. And he said, man, blessed are those who do his commandments. And I want to encourage you guys. I'll throw this out to everybody. Look up. It would not be surprising that there's someone who is right here in this room, and maybe they come to church almost every week, or they come to church a whole lot. They really don't know Jesus as our Savior. They love the fellowship. You know, we love being together. We love just maybe singing, worshiping. We think we might know, but the bottom line is this. We're all sinners. Unless we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we remain sinners, and sin separates us from God, and we don't get to experience this new heaven. We get to experience hell forever, the lake of fire. So we got to make sure the first work we do is believe in Jesus Christ, that he died and he rose from the dead to pay the penalty for our sins. And he says these words, he says, that they may have the right to the tree of life. That obedience, by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, gives us the right to the tree of eternal life, right, with God. That they might enter through the gates into the city, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. By the way, isn't that funny? Everybody, stop thinking about that for a second. He said, I sent this word to do what? To testify to you in the churches. Not on the street, but in the churches, to make sure we're ready. Because sometimes we're sitting in the pew, but we're still not ready. We're just as unready as the guy down the road. And he says that, which is kind of an interesting thought there. And he says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And that reflects back on the prophecies of the book of Isaiah. It says, and by the way, here's the invitation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever's desires, let him take the water of life freely. Everybody look up. Isn't that kind of an amazing thing? So God says, you know, I know where you are. I know what you're about. I know what you're doing. I know what you're not doing. And he says, you know what? The Spirit says what? Come. Come. Come to me. This is our chance, by the way. You know, as a believer, God knows where you're at too. Come. As an unbeliever, if you're really an unbeliever and you've been in church a long time looking like a believer, come. Maybe you came for the first time today, you never heard this before, come. God wants you in the family. He always wanted you in the family. He's been thinking about you since eternity past. You know, and he's called you for that way. It says, take of the water of life freely. And he kind of closes out the book, and look what he says. He says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life. By the way, everyone who gets into heaven, their name is written in the book of life. And that's what God checks at the great white throne judgment. But I think God already knows. He has to say, hey, Cassia, can you turn to page 7 and see if their name's in the book? I don't think he does that. He already knows. But our name is written in the book of life once we're a believer in Jesus Christ, right? And he said, God shall take away that part if we add to the book from the holy city, from things which are written in this book. And look what he says at the end. And by the way, if you're really a believer in Christ, you can say this. He says, and he who testifies to these things, who's Jesus, says, surely I am coming, what? There's that word, quickly, which means what? Really soon, and it's going to happen really quick once it gets going. So be ready. And then he says, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. And that can be our thought when we really know him, when we're secure in him. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Right? So I want to close out this morning, and we are done, in a sense. But here's what one thing we got to do. The work of the Word and the Holy Spirit prepares us for eternity. So I want to challenge you. Remember he talks about how God blesses our obedience? Here's a challenge. How can you be obedient to what you don't know? Like, if I don't read the Word of God, I don't know what God wants. Right? Makes sense, right? So something we could all do better is make sure we know what God wants. And it's like that regular time in God's Word. And I know your life is like probably like my life. You go, I'm not sure where I'm going to fit it in. You know, I already get up at 5 a.m. I get up at 4:30. I do this. I do that. Man, we got to know what God wants. Because we can't live life without God. And he gave us this prophecy, this revelation, so we can live life well and wisely. So I want to challenge us as believers, man, we got to let the work of the Word and the Holy Spirit prepare us for eternity. And I want to speak to that. Here's the other part. So now we might read the Word, but the work of the Spirit is where the magic comes in. Because the work of the Spirit is conviction. The work of the Spirit says, you know what? Hey, Gary, the Word says this, you do this. Or on the surface, you look good, but in your heart, you're not. And we need to kind of, as the Holy Spirit, as we read his Word, as God convicts us, we need to be willing to change. I know it gets, the older we get, change is our enemy, isn't it? Right? But we need to be willing to follow the changes that the Holy Spirit impresses on our hearts. We need to change. And I will lastly say this. You know what? If you're sitting in this room and you've never really received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you might say, I'm not sure how to do it. How do you do it is believe. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus died on the cross. He came to earth as a baby, grew to be the God-man, and his death on the cross of Calvary paid the penalty for all of our sins and the sins of all of mankind. And we're saying, God, I'm a sinner. I recognize it. I believe you died for me. And then Jesus did something that no one else ever did. He rose from the dead. To confirm that God accepted his perfect sacrifice that we might be saved. Right? And if you're here today, everybody look up and we'll close. If you're here today, God, Jesus is coming what? What's the word? Quickly. So if you're here today, today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's not after I have my fun. It's not when I get a little older. It's not when I get settled. And let me say this. This is one of the biggest lies of the world. I can come to church or I can come to God once I get myself together. You will never get yourself together without God, so you might as well just come now. Come with all the junk you got. He'll take the junk, and he will make you new, a new creature in Jesus Christ. So we're going to ask our praise team to come. We're going to close with a song. We have a, by the way, it's kind of cool. Marion has a question, so go ahead, Marion.
When you said the word of this book, right? See, the word of this book, it can talk about the book of Revelation, all it can talk about.
It's talking about the book of Revelation specifically, yeah. So I'll throw this out. By the way, if you have questions, that's why we're here. We have questions too, so we're trying to figure out. Praise team, come on up. But here's the deal. If you got a spiritual issue, you have a need, you just need prayer. You're not quite sure how to receive Jesus as your Savior, and you really want to. I'm going to be here. Pastor Anthony is going to be leading the music. some of our deacons are here, lots of other brothers and sisters that know the Lord are here. We want to ask you today to do something that people don't do a lot in church anymore, which is come. And we'll meet you right here and we'll get things squared away. Amen?
Let us please stand. And we're going to sing Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. And even if we need our change, we can hold onto our own self. We need God's hands to carry us through this hour.
Could say today, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, that we're ready, right? I know we like to think that always, but maybe it's not really true. So I want to encourage you guys as you leave here today, really take a look at your life and see if you're really ready. Because God's really ready to receive you if you're not. He's really ready to forgive your sin. He's really ready to cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you're not. And by the way, we go to him every day because we might be the pastors, but we sin every day too. So let's get things right with God. Let's really invest in his word, that the work of the word and the spirit would make us ready and make us steady as we approach the end of the world. Amen. Pastor Ansu, would you pray us out? By the way, if you're here, I saw someone was a visitor today. We're so glad you're here. We got a gift for you right on the left as you exit. And by the way, Mr. Boyer is going to show us the van out there in the parking lot. It's right over here to this side if you want to check it out for a second. It's great. And we just look forward to seeing you guys again this week as we get together again in fellowship. So Pastor Nancy, would you pray us out, my brother?
Let's pray. Eternal Father, I want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word that gives us hope and prepare for your coming, Lord. Lord, even as we've heard your word, Lord, you're going to come quickly like a thief at night. Help us, Lord, to prepare our hearts that whenever you come, Lord, we will be ready. We just pray this hour, Lord, for anyone in this congregation today who doesn't know you, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just speak to their heart. Speak to their heart in a special way that they will surrender to you and get to know you and build a relationship with you. We thank you, God, for everything we've heard. And may we go this week, oh God, focusing on your return and preparing for your return and building our lives in you and for your glory. Thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.